Hey, man, that's such a beautiful hymn, day by day and with each passing moment. And we want to walk with the Lord each and every day and know His will in our hearts and lives. Isn't it wonderful that we can saturate our hearts and minds with God's Word and the Lord just lead and direct throughout our lives? It's such a wonderful thing to trust Him. We're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. As we kind of piggyback on the message this morning, I'm not going to be in Matthew tonight. We're going to be in Luke chapter 17. I want to encourage you to turn there. Luke chapter 17, we're going to draw our attention tonight to verses 7 through 10. And we're going to continue the theme of this morning, discipleship demands obedience. Discipleship demands obedience. And we're going to look at these verses of Scripture. And I want you to think about how strikingly this contrasts with the present day culture. Listen to these verses here in Luke chapter 17, verse 7. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? Now think about that today. Would this be the case in our culture today? Absolutely not. The idea of servants and masters and all that, that's just completely contrary. And then somebody that worked in the fields all day to come in and say, all right, now fix my meal first before you sit down. That would just cause a riot. Absolutely would. That would cause a riot on the streets if someone demanded that. Think about that. Verse 8. And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken. Not drunken in the sense of alcohol, but have taken drink. And afterward, thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not, or of course not. So likewise ye, when ye have done all those things which are commanded you, say this. Now think about this and think about the words. We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Or we can translate it this way. We have done only that which was our duty to do. What is the standard here? If you do only what you're supposed to do, you are not a profitable servant. You are unprofitable. Now that goes against the culture. That goes against the climate of the day. And that's why this passage of Scripture is being rejected. It's not acceptable. This is not how we live. And yet it's the testimony of the Word of God. I want to talk to you tonight about what the servant needs to know about serving God. What the servant needs to know. Now, it's very popular today to always pair the word servant with leader. Just about every message you hear online or from pastors is servant leader. We need servant leader, servant leader. And yet you don't find those two paired together in the Scripture. Isn't that interesting? I think it's, first of all, a misunderstanding of what a servant is. A servant has one master. Who is our master? Well, it's the Lord. He's our master. And it's the idea that servant is too lowly a term. And so we like to attach a term we like to hear. What's that? Leader. Oh boy, the kids get excited. They come into school in the morning and they look up on the board. Who's going to get to be the line leader this week? Who's going to get to hold the door? Who's going to get to be the one that's first in line for lunch? You know? We like status, don't we? We like leader. So we attach that servant leader. That sounds a whole lot better than just plain servant. I want to share with you some thoughts from this passage of Scripture tonight that go cross-grain to how this world thinks, but it's how heaven operates. It's how heaven operates. When we get to heaven, we're going to see these principles in place. It's going to be how heaven operates. You know, the Mormon church would have you to believe that we're all going to be gods. We're all going to be gods. We are going to be the same as Jesus Christ. We're going to have God status in the future. Well, we're not going to have God status. We're going to have servant status in heaven. Well, we'll all have different opportunities of ministry. During the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ, God's going to give us all kinds of positions. But you know what? We're not going to be able to lobby for those positions. We're not going to be able to go in there and cozy up with Jesus and say, you know what, you know, I was pretty good in that life back there at leading people. I think I should have a city that you give me to rule over. Listen, you'll get what God gives you and you'll be thankful. And whatever, you don't lobby. There's going to be a lot of the leaders that were here in this world that are going to be under people that are going to be just humble servants that were in this life that God says, I'm going to entrust you with 5 cities. I'm going to entrust you with 10 cities. God is going to reward those who are humble and faithful. That's what God requires of a steward, a servant, that a man be found faithful. Not that he has good leadership skills, not that he was important in this life, but rather they were faithful. Very important lesson. Now I want you to see, first of all, from this passage, that servants know their role. Servants know their role. You know, we all would like to think that we're climbing the corporate ladder. That's what they're taught in business schools all across the country. You step on people to get ahead. All right? Have you ever climbed a ladder and someone tried to climb the same ladder with you and stepped on your hands in the process? It hurts, doesn't it? And the next thing you want to do is knock them off the ladder. What are you doing up here with me? We're trying to do the same thing together. We can't do that. Firefighters don't do that. They go up on a ladder. They're not climbing all over each other to get up to the top. It's one at a time. One at a time going up there to fight the fire. And in the culture and the climate of today, you go places in the corporate world by stepping all over people in the process to get a rung up. That's how the corporate world works. And that's accepted. But that's not how God works. God doesn't work that way. You don't impress God by your leadership skills and how you just climb the corporate ladder. You follow and humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and God will lift you and place you in positions that He wants you to be. God does the choosing. God does the moving. And you'll be right where you ought to be when you humble yourself. You see, the servant understands and knows their role. Look at this, please, in verse 7. But which of you, having a servant, plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by when he has come in from the field? Think about this, a long day out in the field working. Go and sit down to meat. Is that what a servant would expect? No, they know their role. What's their responsibility? Hey, we got to hurry back because we got to fix the master's meal. We've got to take care. They know their role. Notice what else. And will not rather say unto him, make ready that wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. The servant understands their role. The master comes where? First. I wonder tonight how many actually in our churches all across America think the master comes first. Oh, yes, the master comes first, but who's the master? Well, that's me, of course. That's me, of course. I have to be taken care of. I'm the most important person around here. When I walk into a room, I take up all the oxygen because I'm the master. I was reading not too long ago, a man was telling about how that one pastor had told his people, when I walk into a room, I expect applause. Wow. So, he didn't come to Sunday school. Pastor didn't attend Sunday school. Pastor was not part of that. Would make his way through the sanctuary up in the front, and then he would come through the curtain to step down into the pulpit area. And the people would stand and start applauding. You know? The pastor has arrived. Another pastor out in California required that whenever he stepped into the room that everybody had to rise because he was the anointed one. And because of his anointing, he was called of God to be their leader. And therefore, they had to rise and stand up whenever he came in. Now, this is this concept, servant leader. Emphasis on leader, less on what? Servant. Being a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a cultism today where we have changed the role of servant and we've made it into our own image, our own desire, rather than what the Bible says. There are preachers today that think they're apostles. Well, I've got news for them. The role of apostle ended in the first century. And now God calls pastor teachers. And it's their responsibility to submit themselves under the mighty hand of God. And they are to be the under-shepherd, not the over-shepherd. You see, the servant understands his role. What is our role? Our role is to be submitted under the mighty hand of God. And just say, Lord, you just use me in whatever way you see fit. The servant knows his role. The servant would never expect the master to say, y'all go eat first, and whenever you're done, you can come cook me a meal. Now, maybe the master would choose to do that every once in a while. But the normal understanding of the role was what? We go cook the master's meal first, and then we can eat afterwards. That's the role. They understood and knew that. Number two, servants are willing to do hard work. Servants are willing to do hard work. I was talking to Brother Finney this afternoon. We came back up in here to pick up his stuff after taking him out for lunch. And he was talking about the fact, he said, we have a program for 15 through 18-year-old boys to work in the kitchen. And he said, it's hard work. We have up to 1,000 people to feed a day, three times a day. And he said, those boys go in the kitchen early in the morning and they work all the way up to 11 o'clock. They go to chapel. After chapel's done, they come right back and serve the people. At the lunch line, they clean up and they start cooking the evening meal. They come in at 5 o'clock in the morning. They have different shifts for all the different boys. He said those boys are tuckered at the end of the day. Some of them work all summer. Some of them just come in and work for 2 or 3 weeks at a time. He said at the Bill Rice Ranch, Dr. Bill Rice, whenever he founded it, said, we're going to build it upon the principle of old-fashioned labor, hard work. He said, those hands that work in there, they have noble titles for them. Okay? You're the stall cleaner. That's a noble title. But you know what? Somebody has to do it. And he said, they have boys that beg, please, would you use me next summer? I want to clean stalls. Praise God. You know what? God's got a useful purpose for those boys that are coming up. Some of them are now pastors across America. Some of them are leaders in Christian schools because they got a good start. It was called old-fashioned hard work. I want to tell you something. If you're going to be a servant, you can't run away from hard work. If you punch a clock for Jesus, you're an unprofitable servant. I didn't say that. That's not the heart of Todd Brainerd. That's the mind of God here. If you do your duty, this is what you say, I'm unprofitable. Because you see, the demands of God's work are 24/7. 24/7. You never know when God's going to call upon you to minister, call upon you to minister to a family. You never know when you're going to be called upon to serve. You think about those dear folks over at Country Haven who very rarely get visits from anybody. They were sitting out on their porch waiting for the young people to come by. And for them, it was the most wonderful thing that could happen to them. And from the notes and cards that we received, they were blessed by that. It's good for our young people to take up those kind of tasks, to serve somebody else. We live in a world that glorifies being served. But you know what? God's preparing us for the next world. And you know what we're going to do for all eternity? We're going to serve. Now, if that goes against your nature, then you're not going to like heaven very much. But what's the alternative? What's the alternative? Wouldn't it be much better? Listen, moms and dads, we have a responsibility to teach our boys and girls to be servants for other people, to do things without being paid. Hey, we're going to load up, we're going to go help so-and-so. If the first thing, how much are we going to get paid? That's not a servant attitude. That's a servant leader. Okay? A servant leader? Well, I work at certain rates. And I do it. If you pay me, I'll be glad to come do that. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You know, God would have us to serve Him from a heart of gratitude. Are we going to get paid in heaven? I want to tell you something. The pay is salvation in Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, that pay is good for all eternity. Just the fact that He loved me and that He gave Himself for me. Lord, I'll do anything You want me to do. But like I said this morning, we have this prenuptial agreement that we have with God. As long as you meet all these conditions, God, I'll serve You. I'll do whatever I want to do. As long as it fits in this prenuptial agreement. Oh no, that doesn't work. You see, the servant is willing to do hard work. Notice the picture of the servant here. This is not one serving in a palace. This is not one that's serving tables in a great banquet hall. Notice the picture of the servant here. This is not by accident, by the way. By pen of inspiration, it gives you a clear view of what God's talking about in servanthood. Notice, plowing and feeding cattle. Plowing, and is that easy work? Absolutely not. I didn't grow up in the days of using plows. I know some here have had that experience. My dad would always borrow a tractor. And I remember learning how to drive a tractor. Dad taught us how to do that out in our backyard. We used to have a really long garden. We kept begging Dad to shorten it up over the years. And after we were all grown, he did. We used to have a long garden. Went from my grandmother's backyard all the way down to the back property of our neighbor. I don't know whose land that was, but we were plowing it. And I remember getting on that tractor, and Dad would be standing there beside us as we were learning how to shift gears and how to lift the back of that thing as we were using the plow or using the cultivator, whatever we were doing. It was a good experience. But you know what? Whenever the tractor fun ended, you know what happened? Then it was grunt work from that point on. Oh, it was fun driving the tractor. Taking it down there and listening to that thing going and lifting that thing up. And boy, we thought that was great fun until Dad at 5 o'clock in the morning, time to get up. We got to go pick peas. Oh, boy. Picking peas. And you look down at that furrow, and it looked a mile and a half down to that end. And Mom would say, we got to do this whole section. And you know, five rows, it could have been 50 as far as we were concerned. And Mom wasn't satisfied with us walking along, picking it. You had to look under the leaves. And we despise butter beans. If I see another butter bean, if I see butter beans in heaven, I'll begin to wonder if I wasn't in the wrong place. I didn't like them. I couldn't stand the taste of them. And then I had to pick them on top of it. And then after that, I had to go shell them. And I would try, Mom, I don't even like butter beans. Why do I have to do this? Well, everybody's going to eat, and you're going to have them too. And despite my dislike for them, they were served up on a regular basis. She'd cook them up, and there they were. You're going to eat every one of them. And I would eat them, and I would eat, and I'd drink water, try to wash them down whole. But I remember picking those butter beans, and then it was purple hulls and crowders, and I didn't mind string beans so much because they kind of grew up on the top there. You didn't have to work as hard for those. But those butter beans, they didn't grow up on top. They grew under the leaves. And you had to sit there, lift them up, and Mom would always say, you got to come back and do your row over again. Start all over again. You know what that was? That was servant training. All the while. I thought Mom and Dad were just being mean to us. But it was servant training. Servant training. Isn't it too bad today that we've moved away from an agrarian society? We've moved away from an agrarian society, and today you got to think up stuff for kids to learn how to be a servant. We've got to work hard. Servants are willing to do hard work. Number three, servants are called to work without supervision. Did you notice this in verse 7? This just caught my eye as I was reading through this passage of Scripture. The master was at the house. Where were the servants? They were out in the field. Notice, they were out plowing and feeding cattle, but where was the master at? He's back at the house. You know, there are two or three ways to look at supervision. First of all is over-supervision. There are some people that over-supervise. They got to have their hands in every little bit that's going on. That's not good for people, to over-supervise them. People have got to learn to make mistakes. People have got to learn, you give them a set of instructions and then let them go at it. And then if they fail and fall on their face, and you help them up and said, all right, did you learn any lessons? You got to let people learn how to be supervised and how to do their jobs without over-supervising them. But at the same time, there's also the problem of under-supervising, never checking. You know, people don't do what you expect. They do what you inspect. You got to come behind. You got to check. So you got to be careful. You got to strike a good, solid, down-the-middle role when it comes to supervision of people, supervision of a ministry. You don't want to over-supervise because then the people say, well, they might as well do it themselves. Somebody might have a better idea than you do about how something could be done. Don't you want it done the most efficient way? You know, sometimes people may have a better way to know how to do it. That's not an encroachment upon your leadership. Sometimes somebody might have a better idea. Go to it! Let's make God's ministry more efficient. Amen? Kind of quiet out there. Everybody still here? And then there are those that under-supervise. They're gone. Here were servants out in the field, feeding the cattle, plowing the field, and the master's back up there in the house. All right? Workers, servants, know how to work without having somebody watching over them all the time. What's the example that's given in the Scripture? Go back to Proverbs chapter 4 and chapter 6. The ant is able to work without what? Supervision. The ant is, and that's what the Bible sets as a standard. Well, I don't want an ant set as a standard. I want something noble. Couldn't they have picked the lion? Or maybe picked me? But no, what did God do? He said, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Boy, there's self-esteem for you. If you want to learn servanthood, you've got to go study the ant. The ant has no overseer, no supervisor, and yet they know exactly what they're supposed to do. That's the servant. What a picture that's given to us here. Fourthly, I want you to see that the servant has a heart to put others first. The servant has a heart to put others first. You know, I've been in ministry now for over 25 years, and I watch people, and I watch different individuals, and we've had some in the past that it was so interesting to watch on fellowship night. They would just about trample people to get in line first for the food. Now, we established a policy a few years ago. We let our seniors go first, okay? And you watch some people get the poochie lip. I can't wait till I'm a senior. Every time I go through, all the best stuff's been picked over. Okay? Well, God bless you. God may make your part taste better. Okay? But you know what? Others first. Joy. Remember learning the statement? Jesus, others. What's why? Yeah, yourself. Jesus, others, and you. What a picture of servanthood. Let others go first. It's not a crime against humanity. Well, I think we ought to let, you know, middle-aged people go first. Or we'll let, you know, something. Listen, what a great lesson to teach our children. Right? What a great lesson to teach. They can wait. You know, the great lessons of life have been left to themselves. I witness our generation today. You go to the mall, and the elderly are looking for seats, and who's taking them all? Young people lounging around. Elderly person comes up. Do you see them get up and move out of the way for an elderly? Very rarely. They're having to stand because the young people are taking them. You know what? That's just something that's not old-fashioned. That's just common courtesy. You see an elderly person, young person, you get up and let them have the seat. That's servanthood. That's just basic principles of life. Christian living, we let them go first rather than ourselves. The servant has a heart to put others first. Verse 8, the servant doesn't expect the master to move over. No. He expects the master to be served first, then themselves. Verse 9, now this is a big one. This is huge when it comes to lessons about servanthood. This is number 5. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? And then Jesus answers the question. All right? I trow not. That's old King James language. It means, of course not. Of course not. The servant does not expect to be thanked for doing the things that were commanded him. But not today. So-and-so didn't thank me. See if I ever do anything for them again. I brought them something and they didn't say thank you. So I'm never going to help them again. I have to be thanked. I have to be appreciated. The servant serves without worrying about being thanked. The Bible says that the servant does not expect a thank you when he did what he was told. And yet the culture today has so challenged us, has so put it in our face that we have to say thank you all the time. I remember to say thank you. I don't want to offend that brother over there. You know how that person is. If you don't say thank you, oh, look out. They won't look at you for another week. They'll ignore you. They won't say hi to you because you didn't say thank you. Is that how Christians are supposed to live? Absolutely not. You see, the servant can work without thanks. Now, it's good to give out thanks every once in a while. We ought to be a thankful people. But if someone forgets to say thank you, it's not the end of your world. You're not going to call it quits. I'm just going to go to heaven. At least I can be thanked up there. Oh, woe is me. I just pour my heart out for God's people and no one ever says thank you. I tell you, we got a lot of spiritual Eeyores walking around. Anybody remember Eeyore, the character from Winnie the Pooh? I'm just sad. Nobody knows I'm here. I work so hard and nobody ever says thank you to me. Spiritual Eeyores walking around, mopey-faced. I'm just a downtrodden servant, working so hard for Jesus, and nobody ever says thank you to old spiritual Eeyore. Let me tell you something. What you need is a good swift kick. Okay? You need a good swift kick. Quit thinking about yourself and think about others. Where's the joy? Jesus, others, and you. Where is that joy? Well, I can only work. I have to be paid. You know, some people are high maintenance people. You got to constantly come around patting them on the back. Oh, you did great. You picked up a pencil off the ground. Thank you so much. We have to run around and do that. You know, if a child picks up a pencil or picks up a piece of paper, they don't have to be thanked. That's just something they ought to do. Just some things ought to be done without having to be thanked for doing it. Can you imagine? Could you imagine? Listen, folks, the servant works without thanks. He doesn't have to have the master saying, thank you, thank you, thank you for everything, thank you, thank you. Oh no. The servant's happy to serve. Why? Because the master loves him. And the master's taking care of him. It's a work of love. Number 6, I want you to notice this. The servant takes instructions. The servant takes instructions. Notice the instructions. Make ready wherewith I may sup. And gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Oh, I can't believe. I've been working outside all day long. I've been plowing out in the hot sun. I had to go feed those sorry cows out there. And now I got to come in and cook the master's meal. What does he think I am? One of his animals? Oh, no. Takes instruction. Takes instruction. Let me tell you something. The privilege of the servant is to do whatever the master says to do. And the servant receives it, receives the instruction with a heart of gratitude. Thank you for the opportunity to serve. Oh, this is so foreign to today. We have to couch it. We can't give commands anymore. I was reading not too long ago, there was a gentleman that was a boss, and he was decrying the fact. He said, you know, when I first got into my management role, he said, I used to be able to give commands, but I can't do that anymore. I have to convince my workers that it's in their best interest to do what I ask them to do. Now, something's wrong with that. Why should I have to take time to explain to a worker why it's in their best interest to do what they're told to do? That's their job. What's that? That's the way they were raised. Yeah. Pick up your socks. Let's go back 25 years before. Pick up your socks. I don't wanna. You pick them up, mama. And so what do mamas do? I go pick it up. Well, if I don't pick it up, it won't get done. Well, what should we be teaching? God made a little switch. You take them in there. When mama tells you to pick up your socks, you pick them up. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Get on with it. Oh, that's old-fashioned. We don't do that anymore. That's why we're in the condition we're in America, where we're picketing because we should have everything given to us on a silver platter. What happened to good old-fashioned hard work? Whatever happened to doing what the boss said to do? Now, if the boss tells you to do something that's illegal, then that's you ought not to do it. But if the boss says, I want you to go out there and get this taken care of, don't sit there and give them lip. I'm not going to do that. My break time's in 10 minutes. I'm not going to start this job. Mouth, 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 mouth. Let me tell you something. You're not going to like it in heaven. You're not going to like it in heaven. Some people think heaven is where we're all going to sit underneath a palm tree sipping iced tea. That's some people's concept of heaven. I want to tell you something. That's not going to be heaven. Heaven is going to be productive. Heaven is going to be a place where we're serving the King of Kings for all eternity, and we'll never grow tired of that. And it'll always be a place of blessing and an opportunity to serve the Lord. It's not going to be sitting underneath the palm tree, coasting around and just traveling around, doing whatever we want to do. Oh, no. There's going to be great purpose in heaven. And it's our privilege right now to learn about servanthood. Jesus is telling us how heaven is going to operate. Very important. Servants can take instructions. You know, you can tell what kind of person you are, how you respond when somebody gives you instruction. You can tell what kind of a person are. You want to test yourself? When you're given an instruction by a boss, how do you respond? Is that how you're supposed to respond? Absolutely not. Shock your boss. Sure, I'll be glad to do that. It's the big one, Elizabeth. So-and-so said that they'd go do it. Amazing. And even if you have a lousy, no good boss, the Bible doesn't say that you only follow the instructions of a good boss. You know, there are going to be people that you're going to run into over life. Dr. Hobbs used to talk about that. We used to have a man that was employed here, Mr. Jones. And it took extra grace to work with him. He was just kind of a rough, rugged man. And he didn't put up with foolishness. If he thought you were being lazy, he'd tell you. Don't quit being lazy. Grab that shovel and get down there and put some elbow grease into it. I remember him telling about, I forget who it was, one of the young people working. He was told to go in there and clean the floor in the kitchen. And they were in there cleaning and scrubbing, and Mr. Jones was just saying, you're not doing a good enough job. And they just got up and went to Dr. Hobbs and said, I quit. Nobody's going to tell me how to clean concrete. And Dr. Hobbs told him, said, you go ahead and quit, but I'm going to tell you something. God's going to have another Jones waiting for you at your next job. You better learn how to operate under a Jones, then you'll be able to operate under any kind of a boss. What a lesson. What a lesson. We want to pick and choose. I'm only going to have someone that agrees with me to be my boss. Well, you're going to have a rough life. You might as well just be your own boss then, because you're never going to find the perfect boss down here. Servants know how to take instruction. They know how to take instruction. Number 7, a servant does his or her work thoroughly. A servant does his or her work thoroughly. Look at verse 10. So likewise ye, when ye have, now get this, notice how specific the text is. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which are commanded you, say this, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Now that's tough. I only did what I was supposed to do. I'm unprofitable. That's what the Bible says. God doesn't want us to just do what we're supposed to do. He wants us to go beyond. He wants us to be second-mile Christians. I can't wait to get into that passage in Matthew. If a man asks you to go 1 mile, what's our attitude supposed to be? Go with him too. Oh, wait a minute now. That's the Sermon on the Mount. That doesn't apply to us today. Really? God just put that in there for nothing? That's something that some generation off in the future? Oh, no. Be careful about that. If someone comes to you and says, I need your help, you go extra. That's what a servant does. You go over and above what's needed. Think about that. You got somebody that you have the opportunity to help. And when you see that person, see, they've got other needs here. I'm going to help out with that. That's what God's looking for. He doesn't want time punchers. I got put in my 8 hours for Jesus today. I'm sure wore out. And don't bother to call me. Turn my phone off. Yes. Don't call me. It's after hours. Really now? Really? That's your attitude? Lord, thank you for another opportunity to reach out and help people. You know, those are the kind of people that God is going to bless in heaven. Those people that pour themselves out in service for Him on this earth, they're going to be the ones in leadership positions. And those that held back, oh no, don't ask too much of me. Oh no, 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 no. It's my time. Those people are going to be the ones that are the little servants up in heaven. But the humble ones in this life are going to be the ones that God elevates and puts them in position of service. Oh, what a wonderful privilege. Servant does his or her work thoroughly and goes beyond what's required. And then finally, I want you to see this. Duty and responsibility come first in the servant's life. Duty and responsibility come first in the servant's life. For those servants, the master being served was first. Ooh, boy, that just goes against the thinking of today. It's me first. Did you see the pictures of Black Friday? Did you see all the pictures? Drudge Report had a running log of all the things that happened on Black Friday. I checked it. The list kept getting longer and longer and longer. He had a video clip on the front page. They had these prepaid phones. And it showed one man with his elbow punching a lady in the face as he was reaching for a box that had one of those cheap phones. He was going boom, 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 trying to knock her back as he was reaching. That's what our world has come to. Now, I want to tell you something. I've had the cheap phones, and they're nothing to fight over. I've got one right now. Every time I mash a button, I hit 4 letters. I don't know how the kids do it. I see them texting, they're just going 90 miles an hour. I hit 1, 4 letters pop up. And none of them come out to be a word that's intelligible. Isn't it amazing what our world has come to today? People fighting and clawing all over each other. One man taking a running leap onto the pile like this was a football game. And what were they looking for? Life-sustaining food, you would think. They're starving to death. Give him something to eat. Oh, no. A prepaid $9.99 phone. And that woman went out with a bloodied nose. And she didn't even get her phone. Bless God, they should have beat that guy up and took away his phone from him and give it to that lady. I couldn't believe it. Bam! Bam! Give me my free phone! My $9.99 special! I gotta have it! I can't live without it! Does that sound like servanthood to you? Sounds like me first, get out of my way or I'm going to beat you up. Drudge had a whole list of all the things. One guy pulled a gun on somebody that cut the line. Another guy pulled a knife out. Okay? Pulled it out, popped it out. Are you going to cut line? No, sir, I'm heading out of here. We don't know anything in America about servanthood. Black Friday proved it. Where we are. We are so materialistic. Me first. Me first. I got to have it. This is what I want, and nobody's going to get in my way till I have it. Wait a minute. Duty and responsibility come first in the servant. What's my duty? Honor Jesus Christ. What's my responsibility? Serve Him with all my heart. Serve Him with all my heart. Give Him what is best. Take care of others. Myself last. Jesus, others, you. Now folks, this is what is required in discipleship. Discipleship requires submissive obedience to someone bigger than I am. And that's God. It's no wonder today that our young people have no interest in going to the mission field. It's no wonder that our young people have no interest in giving their lives to serve God. They've been taught by example. It's me first. You do what it takes to get what you want. Don't let anybody stand in your way until you get what you want. You just taught them how the world operates. By example, by teaching. What God wants is folks who say the master first. The master first, whatever He requires, that comes first. And whatever's left, I'll be thankful for. In whatsoever state I'm in, what am I to be? I'm to be content. That's discipleship. That is submissive obedience to the master. And so, these verses of Scripture indicate to us that faith entails obedient submission to Christ and His commands. I want you to see that verses 7 through 10 follow the truth of the grain of mustard seed. Do you see verse 6 before? And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. And immediately he goes to the lesson of the servant. Faith requires obedient submission to God and His commands. You are never closer to God than when you're obeying His Word. That's how you get close to Him. What do you say in your Word? And I'll obey it. I'll do it. That's when you're the closest to the Lord. You're the farthest away when you're serving your own interests. In selfishness, serving your own interests. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. Nobody's going to get in the way of that. You're the farthest away from God then. You're the closest when you submit yourself to Him and obey His holy word. Folks, this is what the Bible says. This is the testimony of Scripture. This falls right in line and meshes so well with what we learned this morning about the call. Jesus spoke, follow me. They dropped their nets and they followed Him. What is that? Obedience to His command. That's what God requires. Is that too old-fashioned? Is that so against your grain that that will never happen? Then it's your loss. It's your loss. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You so much for this passage of Scripture. It goes so contrary to today's belief system. This world doesn't operate according to this passage of Scripture. It operates on a dog-eat-dog principle. You step on others to advance yourself in this world. You can't be afraid to cut other people down in order to get yourself ahead. Now, Lord, that works in the corporate world, but it doesn't work in Your world, in the world of Christian living. Father, I pray that You would challenge us. There are young people that need to learn how to be a servant, to not to be the first thing that comes to their mind themselves and how this is going to benefit me. But rather, Father, how can I benefit the Lord Jesus Christ? How can I benefit others? How can I sacrifice in order that others might be helped? Oh, that's the challenge of the hour. That's discipleship. That's what it means to be a servant. Lord, help us not to be pious and couch these terms with servant leader and how we want to interpret things, but rather let's just let the simple Word of God speak for itself. Challenge our hearts, Father. All of us need to learn what it means to be a true servant. It means to put ourselves last and put You first and others second. And then we'll know the joy that only You can bring into our hearts and lives. Lord, we thank You for this passage of Scripture. We pray that we might be obedient to it, that it'll not just go in one ear and out the other, but, Father, that it might reside in our hearts and that we might be the example before our young people. Lord, this starts at home. This is the kind of training that has to take place at home, serving others, thinking about others, serving Thee with our whole heart. Lord, I pray that You would challenge us with Your Word tonight. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.